And now it's time to say good morning to Peter Allam, our legal eagle on duty. And today we're talking about property. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning to all the listeners out there. A little bit of rain on the coast. Been a bit chilly, but it's hopefully going to improve quite a bit. Yesterday was a great day, though.
It was, indeed.
A sad day for all South Africans, with Aussie beating us in all phases and Vickers losing.
Right. But I think we'll come back stronger. I think that's the South African way.
I think it's the wake-up call we needed. I think we were too
complacent,
too sure of ourselves anyway. But let's see what happens on the next weekend. Mm. And, of course, there's cricket tomorrow. They start with the T50s or the 50-over ODIs tomorrow. Let's see what happens. Anyway, our chat today is on property. You know, what I'm basically going to be saying is look after your property, and talk about disputes and a guide for owners and tenants regarding property disputes that happen and things that you should look after. So let's start first as a property owner. You know, you need to make sure that you maintain your property. You need to keep it in good order. You need to make sure that when things break, you fix them. You need to make sure if you do renovations and that, you do it correctly. So if you just look at your own property, what you should have, And the sad thing is that most people don't have it at the moment. You know, people have bought houses over the years. Maybe some have been given plans and they have no idea at all where the plans are. Mm. Other people never got plans. Other people never thought that it would become necessary for plans. A lot of people build without ensuring that they've got plans, not understanding that if you do anything and you put a roof over it, you need plans. And plans are the first thing. So let's say that you need to check, have you got plans for your house? If indeed you got plans, are the plans correct? Have you added anything that hasn't been added? So do yourself a favor and make sure that you get somebody to come in and complete your plans. If you've got the plans and you're happy that they're correct, then you don't have to do anything. But if you've added maybe an extra room or a bathroom or an extra kitchen somewhere or a granny flat, the garage turned into a granny flat and it's added a little bit for the bathroom and that type of thing, you need to have your plans upgraded and sorted. Make sure that you have the right plans. So the first thing is to ensure that the plans are there. And when I say the right plans, don't just find plans that are drawn by, somebody and they are exactly what the house is. You need to make sure that you've got a municipal stamp on those plans. Mm. So they must be passed by the municipality, and they must have the municipal stamp on it. You will find out on the coast where we are, originally BCM and Amatola used to do the plans, but it's now Great Car, so don't panic if your plans say BCM and you're living out at Cinsa. It is a possibility. Your house must be pretty old for that, though. So check that your plans are correct. So we've covered the aspect of plans and we're saying please make sure you've got your plan. Then the latest thing that we found with property, managing property, is that every year when you redo your insurance, make sure that they haven't added in a clause which says that you've got to have a gas certificate, you've got to have an electrical certificate, you've got to have an electrical fence certificate. Those have all of a sudden been added to policies unbeknown to people, especially people who don't have a broker. If you have a diligent broker, he will come along to you and say, you got gas? You need to have a gas certificate. Have you got an electric fence? Has it been set up correctly? Do you have a certificate of compliance for that? And then, of course, your electrical certificate, we all add an extension cord, there and everywhere. Some of us add it on and nail it down, and you find that you put a false room in with a board that's divided the old houses and you make two out of one, and you've got an extension cord that comes through from somewhere in the house, through maybe underneath the floorboards or whatever. It's a common occurrence these days with transfers that we do. So, check that your compliance certificates. So the second thing, your first one is plans. Your second one is your compliance certificates must be in order. Do yourself a favor. You don't want to have a fire or have something that you lose out on. And of course, what goes with that. So you talk about the plans, you talk about compliance certificate And the next thing there as well is make sure that you're properly insured with your property. You know, a lot of people say, ah, no, I'm not going to tell them what my true value is because, you know, I'm just going to pay more in a policy. Man, don't get caught with your pants down because you'll cry if you haven't got the proper value every year. You know, make sure that when you renew it each year, you're happy and you're satisfied. You know, that goes for motor vehicles. Don't ever say, it's not going to happen to me. The unexpected happens every now and then when you're not aware of it. Make sure that you're well covered. The other thing that you can make sure you do as well, which a lot of people don't do, you know, a lot of people have little ants that run around, they have a little bit of sand that appears and things like that, and don't realize that they've maybe got wood borer or something like that. It's not compulsory to have wood borer certificates at the moment in our region, but it is a necessity, you know, can be insisted upon by a buyer. Have your house tested for termites or for borer animals and that from time to time. You know, people say, ah, I'm not going to waste my time on, one of the pest companies, you know, we'll rather just go ahead and take those bombs that they let off in the house, and that sorts out my cockroaches once a year. You know, it's not as easy as that. Those people are in the field for a specific reason, because it's necessary. And you'll be surprised what can happen. I mean, I got quite a surprise a couple of weeks ago when I had mine tested and found that I had a couple of mites and wasp nests and bee nests around the house. So, you know, you don't even realize it. Be careful. So, you know, that we come back to another aspect of your home that's very important, which is your boundary fences. You know, disagreements come up all the time over property lines, shed walls, fences, driveways that are shared these days because you've got a panhandle in the back. So the question is, when last have you checked your boundary walls? When last have you checked to make sure that you haven't built on your neighbor's yard? You know, you just the other day I had one where two neighbors down in the valley, it was a bushy area, they cleared the bush, and then the other neighbor said, hey, man, you know, you've got your fence about 5 meters into my yard. And a hell of a thing erupted over it, and eventually they had to get a land surveyor in to come and show you where the pegs were. You know, be cautious of that. Check your walls. Check your trees that are growing. You know, a lot of the big trees are in areas where you don't even realize it cause havoc, and, you know, the walls are maybe falling down and things like that. So you don't want an argument with your neighbor. You don't want to fight over something like that. So check your boundary levels and make sure that they are correct and in the right place and not causing damage. You know, there's that old common thing as well. I want to put a wall up now. My neighbor must pay for half. That's not automatic. If he doesn't want to pay for half, you can't force him. But what you can do is put your wall up and plaster your side only and leave him unfinished. You don't have to sort that out. But go talk to your neighbor if you're going to do something like that, and make sure that it's correct. Then when you come to your own battles with your property, if you've got a property where you're not residing and you may be renting it out, you know, you've got the different disputes that you might encounter. They can be personal, they can be in your business, they can be commercial. You know, it normally involves owners and tenants and landlords and neighbors. And some of the topics that come up with that is, for example, an eviction where somebody hasn't been paying. You know, when one party fails to pay, there's unpaid rent, or otherwise the tenant is responsible for the upkeep of the property and he hasn't done that. You come to do an inspection and you find the bedroom doors are off, the windows broken from the kids playing cricket and things like that. Make sure that you check your property. Make sure that if you have an agent, that the agent is going there to do just that. You know, you get these agents that take on and they get a 10% commission or something, and then you ask them when last you go to the house and they can't tell you. You know, you need to make sure that if you're using a managing agent, that he reports to you, that he gives you a written report to say, I was there on that date. Because if there are problems that arise, you then have a right of recourse against the agent as well. You know, you can't exonerate himself by putting a clause in to say, I shall not be responsible. If you can prove that he hasn't done anything, you will have a damages claim. So your eviction proceedings are there as well to make sure your tenant's up to date. And it's not a case of just going there. You know, so often I hear, I went to my house, tenant was at work, I changed the locks, he now can't go in. End of story. It doesn't work like that. You'll get a court order immediately to open up because you haven't followed the proper procedure. And, you know, yeah, in our area, in the Buffalo City area, municipal area, you can't just evict somebody. You've got to notify BCM to see if there's accommodation for them somewhere. You've got to check whether there are young kids involved. You can't evict people with young kids and that type of thing. You know, the other thing that a lot of people find as well, and these days it remains on the homeowner to make sure that your water and lights and taxes and that are paid. So check your rates. It's another thing with your property. Don't say, oh, I haven't received the rates account in 10 years, so I don't owe anything. Man, oh, man, on our coast are people getting surprises at the moment because, you know, the addresses that they've got goes to an earth. There's no post-delivery there. So those things have never, ever been delivered. So if you fall, for example, under Great Card, do yourself a favor. Make sure your email address is there. Make sure you're receiving it. Make sure that you write to them. You can address a letter to them there. Very lovely lady called Vatiswa there that will send you straight away your account and tell you whether you're up to date and make sure that she changes it to an email where you can get it monthly. So, you know, that's another thing. Rates is another section that needs to be sorted. But your eviction proceedings as well, make sure that you've got a tenant that's paying. Don't find a tenant that hasn't paid for 6-7 months, neglected your house for 6-7 months, and you've got this terrible house in a poor state and you can't do anything and you've got no income coming in. So watch that. You know, rental payment problems are always there. As I said, the unpaid renters and situations where the landlord hasn't maintained the property are a daily occurrence at our offices from homeowners. So make sure that it's there. You know, it all amounts to a breach of the contract that you enter into with them. So once again, don't just on a shake of a hand say, oh, you know, Joseph can rent my house for 5,000 rand a month. Put it in writing. Put in writing what's going to happen if Joseph doesn't pay. Very important. You must have a contract. It's a must. It's not a case of, and you know, a lot of people just do a simple little thing to say, Peter Allen is going to rent from Wayne, pay Wayne 5,000 a month, pay the water and lights, Wayne pays the rates, and they both sign. That's not good enough because it doesn't say what happens when there's a breach.
When there's a problem.
You need to put the terms in there regarding the breach. It's not just about who the parties are, what amount is paid, who's responsible for what. It must go further than that to say what's going to happen. So, you know, if you don't do that, you have battles. And you know what we find a lot lately as well is that family members come to rescue family. And then there's a hell of a hassle there as well because, you know, one family member can't do this and he's left in, you know, to do and live in the home and he's not paying, he's not doing that. Watch that. You know, you got to distinguish between family and business. Unless you're one of those good Samaritans that's happy to do it for free, it makes a difference. And then, of course, you know, another important aspect is that what comes into property, make sure that you have a will. Make sure that your will directs what happens with your property. Don't leave your property unattended to. Don't die in testate where you have a house in Great Cow, out of Yellow Sands or somewhere like that, and you haven't stipulated what's going to happen when you die. You know, make sure you've got a will that it's clear and that the estate plans are in place. Don't leave an estate without any knowledge of who must inherit, who's responsible, and things like that. It happens so quickly, you don't realize it. You know, you say, I'll do it tomorrow. When you look again, 10, 20 years are gone, and they're major problems. So, you know, make sure that you've got that in writing and that people know what's going to happen to the property. Don't let family fight over an estate afterwards. Oh, my dad told me I can have it. Or, oh, my mom said it was in the will that it belonged to me. There's no will and there's no dad giving the property over. You know, if your dad was going to give you the property, he would have transferred it into your name. It's as simple as that. Property not in your name is not property that you can lay claim to. So, you know, when we talk about property like we have been above, the most important thing is that you take steps to ensure that there are no property disputes. So, one, make sure that all your documents, if we go back to where we were, you as the homeowner, make sure that you have plans, certificates, your extensions are proper and things like that. Two, document everything. Make sure that you know where the documents are, where are your plans, where is your title deed, do you owe anything on the bond. If you're renting the property, where are the leases? Even if it's family arrangements, make sure something's in writing so that people can see what is where, mm-hmm. and why it is as it is. And then that will make it so much easier if you do have a legal problem and you've got to go to an attorney, or you die one day and the family want to know who's getting the house and things like that. So property, very important that you look after it. Make sure that you maintain it. Make sure that you have everything in writing. Plan your estate. Mm. A lot of people say, I'm only going to die in 20, 30 years. You can be run over by a car tomorrow.
Yeah.
Never leave anything till later. Rather just do it. You don't want to face a property dispute. You want to ensure that you protect it. You don't want to leave somebody with a house that's got major problems and they've got to spend a fortune to get electrical certificates, to get gas certificates, to get plans drawn. These don't come cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
To draw a plan, you're not going to get away with less than about 5,000 to 6,000 rand if you're lucky. They can cost you up to 20,000, 25,000 for somebody to come in and, get the footprint and sort out decent plans for you. So make sure that you take every single reasonable step that you can to ensure that you know where your property is, what the condition of it is, who your tenant is if you have a tenant, what's going to happen to it when you die one day. All that information should be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of very good people who are meticulous and have a little book that says, this is my house, this is where everything is, and this is my tenant, this is the agreement between the tenant and things like that. That's where you need to be. Don't neglect it. The property means a lot to you, so make sure that you sort that.
And it's
that's basically it, going on property, unless you've got some questions.
Well, just more of a probably a statement than a question, that your property is probably your single biggest asset that you probably ever would have bought, for the average person. So, it pays to look after it, because then it'll look after you.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct statement. Look after it. When you buy something, don't neglect it. You need to make sure that it's a valuable asset.
Mm, mm.
If you can't afford it, get rid of it and put the money somewhere till you can come up again. Don't have property and then you can't afford to paint it.
Mm,
there's a leak in the roof, you can't afford to fix it. The windows are falling apart, you can't do anything. The boundary fence has fallen down. Don't do that. Don't make the neighborhood look bad because you maybe got a financial problem. Assess it. Speak to family, friends, see if they can help.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to sell it, otherwise sell it and invest the money till you're back on your feet and you can afford, to maintain it again afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, property is probably your single biggest asset that you'll own and look after for your hard work that you put into it.
Right, and it's the roof above your head as well for most people.
Yeah. In most cases.
So, Peter, if somebody's maybe got property questions or they're in the process of transferring, how can they get in touch with Alam's attorneys?
They can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, or they'll get us on Facebook. Just add ALLAMS on Facebook. Like us and you'll find all the details there. They'll also pick us up on Wild Coast FM. See the details there.
Mm-hmm.
Our weekly chats are recorded and on the system, so please, they can go in there. And then, of course, our telephone number is 043-721-018.
Great stuff. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Yes, thanks, Ryan.